Good to be back here on this morning as we come to study another portion of God's Word. It's always a blessing to be able to do this, to preach God's Word and to worship with the brethren. What a blessing it is. Not ashamed of the gospel. If you will, turn your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 1. We'll take our time and peruse through couple of passages that will encourage us, that will help us to be reminded of the blessings of the gospel message. I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1, a few things, verses 14 through 16. Number one, he says, I'm in debt. He says, I'm debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarian, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, he says, I'm ready. Not only was he a debtor, but he was ready. Ready to do what, Paul? I'm ready to preach the gospel, the euangelion, good news, the glad tidings. But who was he ready to preach the gospel to? Of course, the context is dealing with Rome, but we know that wherever Paul went, he was ready to preach the gospel. But in verse number 16, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? It's the power. It's God's power to save man. Three things. Number one, he was a debtor. Number two, he was ready. And number three, he wasn't ashamed. Kind of reminds me of the Apostle Peter when Jesus told him that he was going to deny him three times before the cock crew. You remember in Matthew chapter 26, verses 69 through 75, that's exactly what took place. And the reason why is because Peter was ashamed. I'm reminded of what Jesus told him. As a matter of fact, after he denied the Lord in Luke 22 and verse 61, Jesus looked at him. Remember how he felt? He went away weeping bitterly. Can you imagine Jesus telling him that you're going to deny me three times? He said, no, Lord, I'm not going to do that. That's exactly what happened. The piercing look of Jesus Christ when he was ashamed and denied him. The more I thought about that, I thought about what is this gospel? What is this good news? The good news of Jesus Christ suffering, bleeding, and dying on the cross and being there for 6 hours. But God raised him up, sat him on his own right hand. That's good news. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, we understand the gospel defined. Oh, we need to be reminded of this gospel so we're not ashamed of it. So when someone is asking us of the hope that is within us, we can respond with meekness and in reverence, 1 Peter 3:15. But he says, moreover, brethren, he's reminding them, these Corinthian brethren, what they had obeyed. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, that good news, the glad tidings, which I preach unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. Notice, the gospel can be preached, it can be received, it can be stood in, but also it saves. Remember, it's God's power to save man. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believe in vain. For I deliver unto you first of all. Notice what the gospel is. And friends, we have to be reminded of what we believe in and not be ashamed of it. Notice what he says. For I deliver unto you first of all, which I also receive, how Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some have died. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due season. Now notice what the gospel is. It's the death, the burial, the resurrection, the appearance of Christ. Oh, oftentimes we call it the death, burial, and resurrection, and that's true. But to be more precise, it's the appearance of Christ. Turn your Bibles to the book of Mark, and let's look at chapter 16. And friends, when we consider this gospel and the power of it, we're going to take notice of some things and why we ourselves ought to not be ashamed of the gospel. Meaning that we're not embarrassed. We're not guilty because of the actions of Jesus Christ, because of the characteristics of our great Lord and Master and what he did. Oh, friends, when you consider the gospel and the cross, during this particular time, it was a shame. But now we wear crosses. We have tattoos with crosses on our bodies. But friends, back then, they didn't look at it the way we look at it today. In Mark chapter 16, starting at verse number 9, here we find Jesus being raised on the first day of the week. It's early. And notice what the Bible says. He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive. Now keep in mind, they saw him when he was beaten and scourged. They saw him when he was on the cross. It is finished. He died. He gave up the ghost into their hands. I commend my spirit, Jesus would say. And here on the first day of the week, Brian, it's a Sunday. It's the day that we are now worshiping God in spirit and in truth. He is risen, and now God is demonstrating his power by raising Jesus from the dead and having him to be seen that, hey, I have the power to raise men from the dead. So we see the death, the burial, the resurrection, and here the appearance of Christ. But then drop down to verse 16. In verse number 16, we see something. Verse 15, I'm sorry. And he said unto them, now this is Jesus speaking, go into all the world and preach the euangelion, the good news, the glad tidings, the gospel. Notice, to every creature, he's talking about human beings, talking about the souls of men. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Believe what? The gospel. And is baptized, why? Because of the gospel. Shall be saved, why? Because of the gospel. But he that believeth not shall be condemned. Well, if a person is not baptized, will they be saved? Not according to what Jesus said. According to what Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized, Jesus said, I'll save him. We stop and we consider this. Are we ashamed of this? Of course we're not. And the reason why we're not ashamed of the gospel, because it demonstrates the power of God. It's the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the appearance of Christ. We consider how many gospels are there. Turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 1. Look at verse number 6. All these are fundamentals. We stop and we consider the fundamentals of the faith. In Galatians chapter 1, starting at verse number 6, the Apostle Paul is talking to our brethren at Galatia. These were some good brethren here, yet they were being influenced by some Judaizing teachers. These Jews wanted them as Gentiles to obey the law of Moses. But Paul said something. He says, I'm marvel. I'm astonished. I'm befuddled that you're so soon removed from him who called into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. But notice what he says. There's not another. There's only one gospel. Oh, if you ever want to send me an email, send it to onlyonegospel@yahoo.com. Why is that? Because there's only one gospel. And when we stop and we consider the one gospel, which means that it's not two gospels. But notice what he says in verse number 7, which is not another, but there be some that will trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ, the good news, the glad tidings of Jesus Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any of the gospel unto you, then that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed, literally anathema. Let him be damned. And the reason why, friends, is because if someone will change the gospel, they don't deserve eternal life. Amen. As we have said before, verse 9, so let's now say again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. We consider the gospel, the good news. We saw it being defined. But now turn your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians. Go to chapter 2. And look at verse 13 and 14. As the Apostle Paul, our dear brother, has something to say about this great gospel. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Why, Paul? Because God has, from the beginning, chosen you to deliverance, salvation. How? Through sanctification of the Spirit, Romans 8, verse 2, and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you. How, Paul? By our gospel, by the good news, by the glad tidings about this man dying on the cross, but not just any man, Stephen Akin, but the God-man, the one that came in the flesh, John 1 and verse number 1, John 1 and verse number 14, declared who the Father was, John 1 and verse number 18. That was the man that was on the cross. He said, called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, we stop and we consider this great gospel. What does this gospel include? Turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, we dare not to go through all of this, for we don't have time. But when we consider the gospel, it's not just the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but it also is concerning the kingdom of God. We notice that in Acts chapter 8 and verse 12. But when we consider the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God can be identified by its seven wands. Friends, this is why we're not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the good news. It gives us deliverance. It gives us purpose. It gives us identity. In Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse number 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beg you to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing with one another, in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You can put 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10 there. Why? Because we're supposed to be speaking the same things, being of the same mind and of the same judgment. And friends, it can be done. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Friends, when we consider the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is exclusive. It's only one. And it shows us and demonstrates to us that all of us can speak the same thing. And when we have these seven ones in common, because these seven ones are in common with the God of heaven, friends, we are in the faith. We're in the faith. So we stop and we consider, why are we ashamed of the gospel? Why are people so ashamed of Jesus Christ? Turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, the Apostle Paul, our brother, had to encourage young Timothy. And every now and then we need to be encouraged in the same vein. Paul tells Timothy, for God has not given us the spirit of timidity, the attitude of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Notice verse number 8. Timothy, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Question, are people ashamed of the testimony of the one Lord, one faith, one baptism? Are they ashamed that we partake of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week? Are they ashamed that we don't use instrumental music in New Testament worship? Are we ashamed that we don't allow women preachers because God doesn't allow it? Are we ashamed of those things? Well, I don't want to be identified with the Church of Christ. Why not? Because the Church of Christ is identified with Christ. And when we stop and we consider what Paul is telling Timothy, he's telling him, you young gospel preacher, I need you not to be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Paul, what are you saying? I'm in prison because of the testimony of Jesus Christ. Don't you be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. Don't feel guilty of being associated with Christ. And during this particular time that we live in today, people want to mix and mingle denominations with the Lord's church. Friend, there is no mix and mingling. It's exclusive. Just as exclusive as Brother Bonner and Sister Bonner. That's exclusive. It includes no one else. Just like Christ and his church includes no one else. So Paul, he tells him, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. But be a partaker of the afflictions of the what? Of the gospel according to the power of God. Friends, God's power is to save us through his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Take notice of what the Apostle Paul here says. And as I am thinking about these things, it's causing great excitement, even in my own heart, that what I obeyed in 1995 is still the same today. That great gospel preachers of old who have taught the gospel, even the Apostle Paul and Peter and other men of throughout the times, what they believe and what they preach, we're preaching today. Notice what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3. And for time's sake, look at verse number 8. 8 and following. Yea, doubtless, I count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as dung, that I may win Christ, number one, and be found in him, number two, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law of Moses, but the righteousness which is of faith. But notice what he says, which is that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul, what are you saying? Because of this great gospel, I want to give up all things. I want to be found in him. I want to know Jesus Christ. I want to know the power of his rising. Friends, the question is this. When we obey the gospel, do we want to have those same sentiments? Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Oh, this is a Sunday night sermon. You're probably getting more Bible on Sunday night sermon than most pulpits on Sunday morning. Y'all smile. It's good stuff right here. It's a blessing. Amen. Notice the gospel enacted by us. It's interesting. Verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized, this is why baptism is essential. It's essential, number one, because Jesus commanded it. Oh, friends, it's not an outward sign of an inward grace. It's not something that you can do 2 weeks later after you have received Jesus Christ in your heart. No, sir. No, ma'am. We're not ashamed to tell people that when one is baptized into Christ, he is identified with Christ, and also he becomes or she becomes a possession of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. But notice the identification here, Brian Braswell. Know ye not, verse number 3, that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Just as Jesus died on the cross, we must die to sin. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. Just as Jesus was buried in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, we're buried in water. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Isn't it interesting that when we are raised up out of that water, and how this gospel plan is identified with us, or we're identified with the gospel plan of salvation. When we come up out of the water, we're going out and we're showing people that Christ lives in us. The gospel enacted. Friends, this is why it's important for us to not be ashamed of the gospel. Look at verse number 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that through that henceforth we should not serve sin. Friends, this is what the gospel is about. It's about us leaving sin and walking in the newness of life. It's about us realizing that we need to identify with Christ. Turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. Look at verse number 26 and through 29. In Galatians chapter 3, 26 through 29, as we begin to come to some type of closure. Don't get too happy yet. I'm not closing yet. Just some type of closure. Just some type of closure. Amen. You know, we all need closure. Just not right now. In Galatians chapter 3, starting at verse number 26. For you're all the children of God by faith. Faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's interesting. That when I'm baptized into Christ, I'm literally clothed with Christ by faith. But notice verse number 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Notice what is connected to the gospel. Notice what is associated with baptism. Clothed with Christ. Now there is unity in Christ. There is association with Abraham. There is an heirship. Oh, friends, God didn't save us to sit us. God saved us that we can serve. Amen. And we can serve knowing that we're heirs of Abraham, eternal life. I'll leave you with a couple more passages. Turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting at verse number 17. Paul says there, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. See, baptism is not necessary. Oh, that's not Paul's point. Paul's point is I came to preach the word, preach the gospel. It is upon the person if they want to take heed to the gospel. But he says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Paul, what are you telling us? He's telling us that the cross and the gospel go hand in hand. If a man is up and he's preaching the gospel, but he's not preaching the cross, he's not preaching the gospel at all. Brother Omari French came here in 2016 and he preached about that cross. He laid that cross on us. That's all he was talking about was the cross. The cross, the cross, the cross. There's a lot of crossless preaching going on. You know what it means? That's a lot of gospelless preaching going on. And if the gospel is not about the cross, it's a bloodless gospel. You don't need dry cleaning. We need blood cleaning. We need to be baptized in water so we can come in contact with the blood. Notice verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are being saved, notice, it's the power of God. I thought the gospel was the power of God. Preaching the cross is the power of God. Question. Are we ashamed of this message? I know that we're not. But some are. And they seek to try to change the message of Jesus Christ. There is no change. We either accept it the way that God has stated it, or it will meet us in the judgment day and condemn us. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 12 and verse number 47 and 48? He that rejected me and receiveth not my word hath one to judge him. The words that I speak, the same shall judge him in the last day. Here it is. For I have not spoken of my own authority, but the Father who gave me what to say and what to speak. Friends, when we stop and we consider this great gospel message, I have no choice but to preach the gospel. We have no choice but to believe in the gospel. And friends, we should not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I leave you with one passage. Turn to the book of Philippians chapter 1, I believe it is. Philippians chapter 1. Yes, there it is. Verse 27. Since we're not ashamed of the gospel, our lifestyle ought to be identified and demonstrate the gospel of Christ. Oh, this is just good stuff. This is amazing. This book is an amazing book. You just got to stay in it. Get in it and stay in it. He says, only let your lifestyle, your conduct, your conversation, the King James Version says, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of what, Paul? The gospel. Question. Are we ashamed of the gospel? I believe that we are not because we're here. But there are some that may be ashamed. Don't be ashamed to own your master. Don't be ashamed of the written word. Don't be ashamed of the seven ones. Don't be ashamed of going down in water in order to have your sins washed away. Don't be ashamed of that. And don't be ashamed to talk to people about what they must do in order to be saved. Don't be ashamed. Because if we're ashamed of our Lord, he will not confess us on that day. Let's have a word of prayer and I'll offer the invitation. Great God and Father, you're so good to us, and for this we're thankful. So thankful that you have defined your gospel. You have given us a great picture of what it is. And you have commissioned us to go out and teach and preach it and live of it and live by it. Help us always be a people who are not ashamed, who are not embarrassed. Help us not to be a people who don't want to be associated with you. But Father, we know it's possible because we saw what Peter did. But we're so thankful that you restored him and that he had the right attitude. And he wanted to be restored, and he was. Pray to Father that if we're ever ashamed to speak up, that we'll come to ourselves, and that we'll make it right. You loved us so much, you gave us your best. Help us to love you just as much as you loved us and give our best. Be with those who may not be members of your son's church as they are hearing the gospel. Or studying with someone who is a member. Pray to Father that their hearts will be open to thy word and realize this great message of the gospel. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe you're not a Christian. A Christian is a follower of Christ. One who has obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have to believe this great message. It's interesting that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross. Isn't it beautiful that we don't have to go to the cross the way he did in order to be saved? Or take the beating that he took. But the only thing you have to do is believe that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one. You have to be willing to repent of your sins, turn away from your past sins. Be willing to confess Jesus Christ to be Lord. Your master. Be willing to be baptized that you may come in contact with the blood of Christ by faith. Hebrews 9 verse 14 and 15. That God may operate upon you by faith. Colossians 2, 12 and 13. That you may come up out of that water to walk in the newness of life. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. 2 Corinthians 5 verse number 17, I believe it is. But maybe you're a child of God, and you've been ashamed. You haven't been standing up. That happens. happens to all of us every now and then. Well, sometimes we speak when we shouldn't speak, and when we shouldn't speak, sometimes we don't speak. But let's not be ashamed of our Master. He's not ashamed of us. As we stand and as we sing, we can save his invitation.